Good morning, everyone. This is Jeffy Kennedy, author of Epic Fantasy Romance. I'm here with my first cup of coffee. Today is, say it with me, people, it is Friday, woohoo, December 15th. Making sure I don't have a latte mustache on here. For a lot of people that I've been talking to, this is their last day of work for the year. People with day jobs. I'm going to talk about day jobs today. I'm going to talk about something I've observed in the creative community. People who have had corporate type jobs versus those who have not. I'm also going to talk about Murderbot. See, I have a plan. Amazing, huh? Apparently quite a few people, this is their last day of work and then they're off until January. So that's pretty awesome, huh? And I've kind of realized, thank you to all of you who sent me kind comments about that it was good for me to take time off. I'm starting to think maybe that's true. I've not finished the Onera revision yet, but I'm close. I'm so close. I found places to put all of the things that Editor Allie wanted me to add. So I'm really happy about that. And yesterday I had 30 pages to go on the revision. And when I'm clicking along, well, I think I've mentioned this before, but just to revisit, typically I revise at a rate of about 43 to 45 pages a day. That's varying, you know, like some days are very slow, like 7. I'm looking at an old revision set of numbers. And then some, like I got through 65 pages on one day. But on this revision, I've been going more slowly. My average overall is 25 pages a day. But my best day was, my best day was 43, and then I had a couple of 42 page days. And yesterday, oh, my best beloved, I went through five pages, and I didn't even add all that many words, but I did add. I have added overall, as I almost always do in revision. What's my total? Why won't my eyes focus? There we go. Oh, yeah, I've added almost 10,000 words. So that's part of why this revision has taken longer. And it's going to be, I'm at 9,496, so it's going to be 10,000 by the time. By the time she's done writing today, and that's all she wrote. I've passed 101,000 words. So, yeah, it's a longer book now. I have been hearing reports, people asking me questions like, what is this about editors and agents saying that like a fantasy book can't be more than 85,000 words? And my response at first was utter nonsense. There's no such thing. I have never been given a ceiling on word count. The only time I came close was on The Talon of the Hawk, where it went long, and I think it ended up being 125,000 words. And when I told my editor, Peter Semplibin, I miss Peter, when I told him that it was going to go long and that it was probably going to be 30,000 words longer than I predicted, and I was going to be a month late because of that, he said, you know, that he needed to check with production to make sure that that length was not a problem. And then he came back and said, no, it's fine. So I'm not like in Sarah J. Maas territory where they're worried about going more, you know, than 1,000 pages and the glue on the binding won't hold anymore. So, but I've been hearing, people have been asking me this, like a mentoring question, and it had come up a few times in different spaces about this. Why are they capping it at 80,000 or 85,000? And somebody asked if there was a resource for like the word count cap for the various subgenres. To which I was saying, there is not one. There's not. Well, I talked with someone the other day, and it's not a super reliable source. It's a newbie writer full of anxiety. Maybe those things go without saying. And I do not mean that condescendingly at all. This particular newbie writer is particularly full of anxiety and bitterness, has had one fantasy book rejected on querying. You know, it's like, how many of us have books that were rejected, you know, for years. But this person's very full of bitterness. And the newer novel, the horror novel, is not seeing any better results. And so a mutual friend had asked me to talk to this person. And they are an unfortunate combination of anxious, bitter, and also certain that they know everything. And that's a frustrating thing. I was happy to do the favor for my friend, but otherwise I would not have spent long talking to this person, because it's impossible to give decent advice to someone who thinks that they already know everything, right? I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it, people. This was a white guy. And I just think sometimes these things go hand in hand. Neither here nor there. Anyway, this person told me that an agent had told them that their fantasy novel was too long and that it had to be like 80 to 85,000 words. So I haven't asked Agent Sarah about this. I think that actually what people are hearing is slightly different than what the industry is saying. Which happens, right? People hear advice, particularly people who are not great at taking advice, if they think they already know everything. And they turn it into a rule. And we're having a conversation about this, like the old advice about adverbs, you know, that it's like, well, reduce your use of adverbs and focus more on using active verbs will empower your writing. It's great advice. But then that gets turned into the rule of don't use adverbs, to the point where like newbie writers will like scour their work trying to remove every adverb. It's like, no. Adverbs are fine. There's nothing wrong with using adverbs. And like the showing versus telling thing. And I won't go into a full rant on that. To check to see if they... No, I think he's okay. I thought maybe the cat wanted in, but I think he just went along the side of the house. It's pretty frosty this morning. Great snow yesterday. I got some beautiful pictures of the snow. So, my point, and I did have one. Oh, this word cap thing. I don't know. I kind of got off on a bit of a tangent there. Let's talk about Murderbot. Assistant Corrine sent me a release yesterday, press release, saying that they have cast Alexander Skarsgård to play Sec Unit, aka Murderbot, from Martha Wells' Murderbot Diaries. I have previously waxed fangirl about Murderbot on here. It's just a great series of books. And the novella, most recent novella, came out a couple of weeks ago. I had to finish a beta read for a friend. But then once I finished that, I dove into Murderbot, and I'm gleefully contemplating a holiday reread of the rest. I guess I never finished my thought on me taking time off, with only getting through 5 pages yesterday. But I have nearly gotten through this full added scene, and then I have 30 pages to go. I think I may be done today, and I may be able to just go ahead and send it off, and then that will make it also my last day of work for the year, kind of for the year. I'll probably start in again on like December 27th once I get back from Christmas if I'm feeling spunky, but otherwise I'm going to be getting ready for Christmas and maybe rereading all of Murderbot. But how do we feel? How do we feel about Alexander Skarsgård being cast as Sekhmet? For the three of you out there who have not read this series, Sekhmet is short for security unit that has achieved sentience, free will, and refers to itself as Murderbot because being a security unit, it has like guns in its arms. And it's also full of anxiety because it's always worried about how fragile the humans are around it. And it's almost impossible to describe, but what makes this series so amazing is it's all told from Murderbot's perspective. And Murderbot doesn't really understand people or understand a lot of the things they do, and most of the time, all it wants is to be left alone so it can watch its shows. And the shows are great. Like its favorite show is a long running, that basically it sounds like a soap opera called The Rise and Fall of Sanctuary Moon. But Security Unit, SecUnit, has learned how to be more human by watching these shows, learning about human emotion, and it isn't it. It is genderless. They ask sometimes, the human friends ask how it feels about things, and it's like, no, it prefers to be called it. It prefers to be called SecUnit, and it has no gender. It's, oh, Kitty's outside the window. Do you want in? I think he does. Please do pause. So it's interesting because readers of this series occasionally debate or have debated how they picture Murderbot in their minds because it is a first-person point of view. So you don't really get much external imagery of what SecUnit looks like. And the audiobook, which I've not listened to, but somebody else told me, is narrated by a distinctly masculine voice. And people were disappointed by this. It would have been fairly easy to choose an androgynous narrator, but instead they went for someone very fully masculine. And now with the show, and I think it was sold to Apple, is going to be Alexander Skarsgård, who love, think he's fabulous. And I suppose he's more on the androgynous end than like Russell Crowe or someone like that, but still distinctly masculine. And it's just frustrating because it feels like when there's not an evident gender that the default is to go to male. The other concerning thing about this press release was they called it the action-packed Murderbot series, which, yes, there's action, but the books are really about this cyborg that likes to watch soap operas. And it's by it's gonna be the is it the Weitz brothers? Yeah, Chris and Paul Weitz, who did like About a Boy, which I did not love for reasons, and also shows like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which is action-packed. I'm just dubious. I'm just wondering if they've gotten the point. So I don't know. I'm just Karina and I were talking about it, and we are both disappointed that they cast someone who is so definitively masculine as Murderbot, because Murderbot has many, many feminine qualities, and lots of androgynous qualities, and the author is female identifying. So stop taking our kick-ass heroes. All right. The other thing I wanted to talk about is, and this is something I've been noticing for a very long time, but it's come up again recently. But in the writing community, I assume it's true in other creative communities that And I might back up a little bit and say that I think that this is really interesting about like Taylor Swift. I read that article because she was named Times Person of the Year. And one of the things she talked about was this concert tour, the Eras tour, how she prepared for it. Because I did not go to the concert, I think you all know. I still don't know if I regret not going. But I did go see the movie, and the movie is almost 3 hours long, and apparently the concert itself is over 3 hours. And we should be able to watch the full extended thing on streaming. It might be out now. I may watch it. But the way that she prepared, because I had wondered, it's like, how the heck did she do this over 3 hour show? I mean, she's 33 years old, so she's young and frisky. But still, she sings, she dances without stop for the entire thing. And in that article, she says that she prepared by running on the treadmill and singing every single song in that show, beginning to end without stopping. And she would run fast for the faster numbers, and she would walk for the slower songs. But and she did that every single day to prepare. And this is partly why Taylor Swift is so amazing, because she's this incredible businesswoman who takes her job very seriously. She said, if I was going to put on this concert and I knew how hard my fans worked to, traveling for distances to be able to come to this show, then she wanted to deliver. And I contrast this with sort of the model of the band. Like I know of one metal band from the 80s. A friend of mine had an affair with the drummer. And like he screwed up his taxes, the band fell apart. Now they still like tour, but like not well, like going to the casinos and that sort of thing. And but like he ended up living in his mother's sewing room because he didn't pay his taxes and because he spent all his money partying. And that's kind of the model of a lot of the rock band thing. They want that rock band life, but a huge contrast to Taylor. And she's just a very business-minded person. But one of the things I've noticed, particularly in the writing community, is that it becomes very evident which authors have worked in corporate America and which have not. And I'm thinking of one person, I don't think she'll mind me saying it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to name drop. C.M. Nascosta, who's well known for her monster romances, she worked in marketing. And I know the corporation she worked for, I won't mention it, but she knows how to deal with working in a business and what's expected when you have to deal with coworkers. There are other people who are like have jobs and roles of responsibility in the community that have never worked in a corporate environment. And there are things you learn by having a day job that you do not learn by being a creative. And I think, I mean, I know it's very frustrating for people, like the person I started out the podcast talking about, when you're querying and you really want to sell your books and you don't want to have a day job, but you learn from having that day job. You learn very important things about life. And so it's always tempting to be the person who's 19 years old and has their debut novel and, bless, go ahead. But for those of you who are working your day jobs and raising your families and doing these things, these are incredibly important skills that you will need to have later. And I'm, as much as I would have loved to, when I was 24 and decided I was going to be a writer instead, and had my first novel take off or what have you, I knew at that time that that might not be the best thing for me. And I know a number of people that it was not the best thing for them. It's much better to get that maturity in place. So if you are out there being a corporate drone, Working in the office and facing your slog. Maybe you get your 2 weeks off, and then in January you have to go back and you're going to face the workplace again with the petty bickering and fighting over who left the thing in the fridge and jockeying for who's in charge of this project and people pursuing unreasonable vendettas and worrying about everybody else's work but their own. We've all been there. Just remember that you are learning really important life skills that when you are able to be a full-time creative, those skills will serve you very well. So, on that note, I hope you all have a fabulous weekend, and I will be here Monday. I'm just going to be here. So, talk to you all on Monday. You all take care. Bye-bye.